Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I've got to free myself one enslaved chest cold or whatever I've got going on at a time. You're going to hear me be a little raspy, coughing a little bit. I do have the button, but I can't promise I'm going to catch everyone. But the show must go on, as they say. And this is going to be a dramatic interview with Paul Preston from Agenda 21 Radio, also the president of the New California Movement, which has exceeded everyone's expectations in terms of what they're accomplishing. And we have common ground on people trying to, shall we say, sabotage his movement, sabotage the Trump administration, and the Jesse Smollett case is part of this. Now, before we get to Paul, I just want to remind everybody that we're brought to you by a couple of sponsors in this particular segment. One of them is Noble Gold. Noble Gold, they do such fantastic things for people. I'm going to let them explain it to you. I'm going to ask you to call them. Trust me on this. They are absolutely converting pensions and making them viable and increasing their value. They also can help protect your assets. If you leave your cash in the bank, and I mean all of it, you're asking for trouble. So you want to give them a call, 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. And after you hear this report, you will hear the need to have food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, tools, and so forth. We can help you with the food. 70% off. Restaurant quality. No glyphosates, no GMOs. It's a fantastic deal. It's the best deal in America. Go to preparewithdave.com. Preparewithdave.com. Those are our two sponsors. And I also want to give a shout out to my friend Bob Griswold, and I'll tell you why. Bob is the best prepper I know. And he'll talk with you about prepping at your level and not charge you for the conversations like so many do. I want you to go to readymaderesources.com. That's a freebie thrown out to Bob just because I believe in what he does. I'm interviewing him in the next 24 hours. But I wanted to get this out there because, folks, I'm telling you, we are going to have some trouble in this country. We could have just-in-time delivery interruptions, and that could impact your family. And if you hook up with Bob and you listen to who we sponsor on this show, you should not be caught short. Well, Paul Preston really needs no introduction. He's a frequent guest on this show, and for good reason, because he is making news across the country, and he's making a positive change in what's going on in the country to combat the effects of the deep state and the new world order. Paul, I want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for joining us on such short notice.
No problem, Dave, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, we discussed off-air before we went on, and I want to just lay this out, that I've uncovered a plot involving the Smollett false flag, that it was the first of many race riots that was going to, intended to become race riots for many racial incidences that would have involved sports figures, media figures, and even politicians. And this comes to me from very, very reliable sources. I laid it all out. The documentation for this point in time is pretty good, and that article is on thecommonsenseshow.com. And I know that this, let's put it this way. Chicago was to be first with this with Smollett. I have information, and it's good. It's consistent, and it comes from more than one source. L.A. County was going to be number two. Paul, does this surprise you at all?
Not at all. Not at all. And, you know, the thing is that you got to remember that back in the day of the Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman trial, there was an attempt then to start race riots all around the United States. And remember that following the, they threw out the case against, or they found Zimmerman innocent. This is the case in which the young man was shot by Zimmerman because he was being pummeled MM style on the ground, and he stood his ground, which is the law that they had in Florida, and he shot Zimmerman and killed him. And of course it was Reverend Sharpton and Reverend Jackson and all the rest of the sure. race hustlers who appeared down there in Florida. And at the end of the day, even the president at the time, Obama, was encouraging people to riot. I thought he was an accomplice at the time. He was telling people to go and march in the streets and so on. And that was turned out to be a big fizzle, a big nothing burger, because remember, they said that they're going to have 100 of these demonstrations on Saturday. I think the conviction was overturned on a Wednesday. And they sprung into all this hype and craziness that there's going to be 100 cities throughout the nation that are going to be out there demonstrating, I think was really an attempt to create this riot situation. Never happened. They called for a riot and it never happened. And that's, I think, what happened then. It doesn't surprise me that this would be an attempt to do the same now. And quite frankly, Dave, I think it would fail miserably had they done this.
I think you're probably right, but it shows the intention of what these people yep. in the deep state are willing to... Excuse me, Paul. We just had a little cutout here. Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to say was... It shows the intent of what they're willing to go to. And even though the Smollett thing fell on its face, and the other subsequent attempts may have fallen on their face like Trayvon Martin's case did, it shows the persistent intention of these people to divide this country. And let me tell you something I didn't mention at the top. The Kigali Principles, which Obama and Kerry signed in 2016 before they left office, which allows the UN to come in on their own say-so to restore domestic tranquility to any nation in any manner right. they see fit. And Chicago's Cook County commissioners have tried to bring in the UN twice, and Trump blocked it. So, to me, this is a coup attempt, and it just shows you that the coup is underway against President Trump.
Absolutely, and we know that there's a lot of stuff that's going on around the White House, in and around the White House, that are people that are attempting to kill the president. Right now, my understanding from my sources is that there have been 14 serious attempts to kill the president at this point in time. 14.
Oh my goodness.
And that is something that, so that's why I say that none of this is a surprise. And of course, the surprise about Chicago, which is in complete chaos, by the way, complete chaos from the shooting standpoint. There's murders all the time. And of course, in Aurora, Illinois, which is right there next to Cook County, right outside of Chicago, we had a shooting just the other day with 5 people, I believe, were killed. So that none of this is a surprise because of the chaos that Chicago is in. And in fact, even the people of Illinois have introduced legislation to break off Chicago so that they can form their own state just and be Chicago as a state. God help us, right? But the other part of it, too, which has been their plan for a long time, Dave, and we've talked about this on my radio show many, many times, is here you have Rahm Emanuel, the man with the crisis, who understands how to manage crises the best. In the home of Saul Alinsky, of all places, wanting to call in the United Nations for help. Well, hello, we have a standing army. Why would he? Of course, what they're trying to do is bring the United Nations in as the jurisdictional, overseer of Chicago, because they're in such chaos.
Yes,
yes.
And the UN has announced their intention to be the supreme political authority for all nations by the year 2030. So it's consistent
with
that philosophy. You're exactly right. In fact, you mentioned Rahm Emanuel. I put him in the article that I mentioned earlier in this broadcast because I was connected to a guy named Jeff Joe Black back in 2012. And Jeff had approached myself and Annie DeRiso, my news director at the time, with information that Rahm Emanuel was a Mossad agent and was put in play in Chicago to bring about any false flag in Chicago that they wanted to do, and he would use his Mossad connections to do so. Well, Jeff Joe Black went into hiding after he was threatened within an inch of his life, canceled his appearance on my show, but I still had the info, and I published it at his permission. He came back out of hiding a year later. Well, he was scheduled to be on my show, and a few days before, this was when he lived in Chicago, he was thrown off a bridge in Philadelphia, and it's still covered as an open homicide case.
Right.
And he exposed Rahm Emanuel, and that was really my first experience with who Rahm Emanuel really was. He was put into play to exercise deep state operations false flag operations in Chicago. And he's right. still around today, and this is Obama and Rahm Emanuel territory. And people need to know, Paul, that the Smollett case in Chicago and the Rahm Emanuel connection, the Mossad connection, and the intent to bring in the UN previously to Cook County, it's all Chicago.
Right. And they want Chicago to be the test bed for the United Nations coming in to set up control. And once, you know, they feel that they have jurisdictional control over an American city, it's going to be very easy for them to take over an American state, such as California.
Well, that's what I wanted to go to next, which is why I wanted you to weigh in on this. You are a threat to the New World Order. You are a threat to the deep state. And therefore, your actions with regard to New California are subject to attack. And I wanted to take some time and explore the attacks that you could be experiencing as a result of trying to bring California to a degree of sanity by creating a 51st state involving the majority of the counties. And my information told me, and this comes right directly from an FBI agent, Paul, someone who I've known for quite some time, they told me that after Chicago, after Smollett, well, you see, we got the dogs barking. We know we're on the right track. But after Chicago, L.A. County was to be next.
Yes, that wouldn't surprise me one little bit, because L.A. County is out of control. And they have 60,000 people homeless on the streets all over. It looks like squalor. And basically what it looks like is the beginnings of a Venezuela.
Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly what's happening. And other parts of the state, they're working overtime, too. In Orange County, there's the Chapman University that is notorious. They brought in Dr. Peter McLaren, who's a known Marxist. They handle, guess what, is the ethnic studies over there. They brought in a new president right from the Vatican, from what we understand, who's now the president of Chapman University. The great Chapman University, by the way, I went to Chapman University. And they are really setting up a Marxist coven down there in Orange County, in the city of Orange, which is my hometown, I might add. So there's a lot of concern about the activities of these deep state actors and what they're up to. We know that they're what they're up to. We know what they're doing. And we're very easily following what they're doing. And of course, now that we're doing New California, we're intimately involved with some of the proactive nature of these deep staters as well, trying to destroy New California.
Well, you're exactly right, and they are trying to destroy it. Isn't there some movement now involving Orange County or Southern California that's attempting to undermine some of your strongest base of support for your 51st state movement?
Oh, yeah. And I think we've kind of got it in check, or at least an understanding of what they're trying to do. And, it's a modified movement that's off of our movement, and some of the people that were involved and engaged in our New California movement basically became internalized with us, embedded, if you will. This is how they operate. And we're seeking to destroy our movement. That's really kind of long and short of it. There's some of these things are under investigation. I can't really disclose, but it was a real deep state activity going on, and we've blown the cover on it. We're okay in this new state. In fact, we're recovering quite well. People want freedom and liberty, and want to be, they're Americans in California, and they see what's going on. That's why we're forming New California, and the southern counties are on board. The southern and central counties of California are absolutely on board. So I'm really excited about our future, but this is the kind of stuff, and there's other stuff too that they've been hitting us on. We know that. Yeah, but we've been able to bounce back, and you know, now we have our radar out. All of the people in New California, especially the county chairs, all have their radar out for certain behavior that we can spot a mile away. And we've been able to see it, actually, the same kind of behavior that's happened to destroy the California Republican Party, I might add. It's the same kind of behavior that and techniques that they were using to destroy the California Republican Party and create the so-called monoparty, which, by the way, it's interesting. The Democrats in California don't quite understand. They're being attacked, too, because you got to remember something, that if you're a dictator, you don't need political parties.
No. You absolutely don't.
And that's what they're trying to do, is destroy them internally.
I agree. But right now they are a means to an end. And
yes,
I made the point in my article that came out that we're referencing, that the Democratic Party and their extremist views of Kamala Harris, 70-90% taxes, no cars, no private health care, Bernie Sanders joining in, Ocasio-Cortez, all the major people, including three of the four major candidates, are on board with these extremist policies, but they're a distraction. This is what I've concluded. You know why I've concluded this? Because Hillary Clinton has steered clear. Joe Biden has steered clear. And when they get to 2020, they're going to bring the Democratic Party back to a more centrist position. And I think this is a distraction designed to take us off the track about the coup that's going on against Trump.
Well, it's clearly a distraction for that. And they're trying to that whole coup is, of course, becoming quite well known. I think everybody's starting to put two and two together. The Mueller investigation has lent itself very well to that. And, it was a springboard for the, for the Trump people to be able to put their case out to the public so the public could see, just how egregious the FBI and the Justice Department have been.
Bingo.
Over the years. I mean, again, this is where the real activity has taken place. But now they realize there is no there as far as a Russian, investigation. And we know for a fact that none of it was there at the time when we were closely, talking to people in the Trump campaign. It came as a surprise to us that people that you were talking to were in certain countries when in fact you were talking to them in the United States. That was the real goal of their activity, was to destroy Donald Trump, either, I think, personally, kill him, assassinate him, through the 25th Amendment process or something similar like that. They have no respect for the law. And of course, the 25th Amendment was never to be designed for, for somebody such as the president who's alive and well and everything. It was designed for somebody who was not, available. When Reagan was shot, they used the 25th Amendment then because he was under anesthetic and brought in the vice president, George Bush. That's normal. That's what that's for.
That's legitimate. Yeah,
it's legitimate. Absolutely. But this way, and now, of course, McCabe is out there, and that's backfiring on everybody. People are seeing what's going on with, and then there's a lot more with McCabe. They haven't even scratched the surface of the improprieties of the Dick Black, Senate race with McCabe's wife, who got $750,000 from who? Peter Comey. Yes. And what was he? The leader of the head of the Clinton Foundation. We haven't even talked about that yet. That's going to come up. That's explosive in and of itself, because that goes right to Hillary Clinton. And what does it go to? It goes to stopping information that would come out from Dick Black about how Hillary Clinton financed ISIS.
Yes. Well, I just covered that in an interview with Scott Bennett that just aired on my show. Scott went through this chapter and verse.
Right.
It's like you described.
Right. There's no escaping this for McCabe. I bet he's even actually forgotten about that.
No, he hasn't. But, let me tell you how I know that. I get to say this. And I know, we deal with people who tell us, you can say this, you can't say this, and I know when I write it down. And the reason you and I get good contacts is because we don't violate our confidential informant agreements. But let me tell you what I've got that I can say. It's McCabe's loyalists in the FBI that planned and plotted with this Mossad agent set to them by Rahm Emanuel to carry out the Smollett thing. The FBI wanted one degree of separation away from the event so they couldn't be linked. So they went to Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel said, yeah, I'll give you this agent. He'll do this for you. And he's the one that set the whole thing up. And obviously it wasn't done very well because it was so easy to bust. But here's the thing. The reason I found out about it is because of some of McCabe's stooges have worked on other projects with their FBI agents that they may not totally know their loyalty. They opened their mouth. And this is how I got brought into this, by sources I had where McCabe's people are telling them, hey, this is the story behind the Smollett case.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah.
So
this is how we work. We work in this area, and the reason why people depend upon us for news is because what we put out there is dependable. They get it, and it comes to fruition. If we are predicting something, I was at the table yesterday at an event, And, you know, we have this bill that they're running out here in California that will allow pedophiles to go free and commit pedophilia, pedophilic acts, as young as 8 years old on a young person. And it's not a crime. That's what California is introducing. Well, this is all part of the NAMLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association business that started actually in the 70s and 80s. And I've been talking about this for years, Dave, that this was their agenda to get to this point where sex with children is okay. Well, here we have the evidence. California introduced a bill by listen to this. He's an assembly member named Scott Wiener. He introduces the bill, right? I mean, come on. So this bill has been introduced. Well, at the table yesterday, one of the people who listens to me said, "Well, you know, Paul Preston predicted this years ago." And that's why they listen to us, Dave, is because we come up with this information. It's viable information. It's reliable information. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. But, you know, we vet things so clearly, it's never wrong. That's the problem, you know. We know what we can stay away from and we know what we can use. But, yeah, we have a lot of contacts and, you know, you and other people and myself and other people, when we put it together and synthesize it and put it out on the airways, it's dependable.
Well, Mike Adams and Alex Jones, the day after I printed the vague, "Hey, here's what's going on with Smollett, false flag," mm-hmm, I can't say mm-hmm. much more yet because of my confidential agreement, but I said, "I'm shaking the trees, more is going to come out." Mike grabbed new stuff the very next day. So did Alex. And they were out there with it, and people who were criticizing me started writing me apology emails. And now, when I came out with this latest article, avalanche of information coming up. I will tell you something, too. The people to watch in the case with Smollett that'll really break this open, and I can't say more than what I'm going to say here because I would compromise a source. It's the lawyers who are representing the Nigerian brothers.
Right.
I'm going to say this. Here's a clue for anyone in the independent media that wants to take this ball and run with it. You can come up with who is behind this. I can't because I know and I promised I wouldn't say. But the lawyers, look for the Peruvian connection. And, Paul, I know that gets your attention.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Shining Path and, mm-hmm. You know, Shining Path was attempted to assassinate the president. And quite frankly, my radio show and others convinced the president not to go to Peru, and he didn't. And the assassination, of course, didn't take place. But there was an assassination attempt. In fact, I talked to individuals face-to-face just last week, and we kind of went through the whole thing. You know, don't get to – 2 weeks ago, I guess, so we don't get a chance to see each other all the time. But it was very critical, the information that we gleaned on the ground in Peru and in Chile – that led to the president not going to Peru for that America summit, I think it was.
Yes, it was.
Some of the Americas or whatever it is. He didn't go because there were trained assassin teams going to take him out, period. End of subject.
Yeah, so. I dovetailed on your coverage on that. And what I'm saying here is I found not everything you had, because you had sources I didn't. But I found conflicting information that I know you were right on the money about the Shining Path situation and what was going to happen there.
Right.
And you're right. Now, I want to say this, too. About the attorneys representing the Nigerian brothers, I'm not saying they've done anything wrong. I'm saying just look at their firm's connections.
Right.
It might provide clues.
Right.
And I'm not saying that the lawyers need to be prosecuted or anything like that. They're involved in some conspiracy. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there are some interesting connections, and when you look at their legal backgrounds and the disciplines their legal members have been through,
right,
they don't fit the MO of who should be representing these Nigerian brothers. I find it really interesting that this firm was brought in.
Now, I'm going to throw out another name that is another famous Chicagoan, actually famous in California as well. And this is a person who's famous in Peru with the Shining Path. In Argentina, and his name is Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers is the I guess you would say the circus master, the ringmaster.
Yes.
Of all this indigenous people stuff. And where does that come from? Peru. It's a Maoist organization, Shining Path. And that's worldwide now. That's where all this indigenous people stuff is coming from. And this is, of course, what has led to all the migration from North America, or North South America, the northern part of South America and Central America, that's now caravanning up here to the United States.
Boy, you,
Bill Ayers.
You just jumped into the middle of what I'm coming out with next. So I guess I may as well go ahead and mention it because it's going to come out. I published the Smollett situation, and then I said, there's only so much I can say. And then I did a flip, and my next article was on, we have the nine elements typically associated with the path to genocide. And I went through, like, the beginnings of gun confiscation through red flag laws and so forth. I went through all this stuff, went through nine of them. And people are saying, man, Dave, that was a discontinuity. No, it wasn't. Because, see, the distraction created by the Democratic Party and their extreme socialist views is taking their eyes off what they're going to do. And here's where I'm going to go full center with what you just said. You know, and I know, I interviewed Larry Grathwall a number of times, FBI special informant that penetrated Bill Ayers' Weatherman Underground organization. And he asked Bill Ayers, if you communists ever take over, if you ever win, if we get control of this, what are you going to do? And he said, well, we're going to have to re-educate, put in camps 50 million Americans and do away with over half of them, meaning murder them. And he didn't blink an eye. And this is the man who launched Obama's political career in his Hyde Park, Chicago home in his run for the state Senate. And he still visited the White House when Obama was president.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. We're all in Chicago and we've got Rahm Emanuel. We've got the home of Obama and we have Jesse Smollett. Isn't he gay?
Yes. Which would have brought in greater numbers for rioting. It's not just race now. Now it's about sexual preference and the LGBTQ.
Right. And that would have, you know, potentially brought in more and more and more people for whatever reason. But they obviously ran afoul of the law. And, you know, I think as I listened to Rahm Emanuel in his comments, you know, he was very disparaging to Jesse. But it was a little bit more over the top because I think he was a little bit disappointed that it didn't lead to the riots that they thought they were going to get.
I think you're right. In fact, Obama tried to fuel it.
Yeah.
He did. He came out and he said, well, and he said this speaking as the president. I remember he kind of turned his head to the side, like, should I say this? And he said, yeah, but you have to understand that many black people perceive the police as their enemy. And I'm thinking, how could you say that as the president?
Yeah.
So he was right there. You're absolutely right. So this is an orchestrated plot to create civil unrest, social upheaval. And I'm telling you, Paul, the Kigali principles are in play. I'm telling the UN will use this as an excuse. If they'd have got this off the ground, let's say we'd have had rioting in 10 cities, 20 cities, we would have seen a UN presence.
And, you know, of course, the UN is hoping that they can come in at any turn of events at the border. And I think that's where California is really, and Texas right now is really under it. But I think California will be too, especially as we get closer into California's financial collapse, which is imminent. California's financial collapse is imminent. And we've been talking about this for months. I was watching a videotape that we did 18 months ago. And I was talking about California's financial collapse going to happen 18 months from then. And guess what? It's 18 months. So we're coming up to March, which is the time when they're going to start to see a real drop in their revenue from, you know, the intake of taxes. And what's going to happen is ultimately in another 6 months, California will actually have run out of other people's money. And that's going to become a problem for them. California, in terms of finances right now, as you know, many, many of the cities have been bankrupt and they've had to recast all their debt and everything. And it's been the pensions and everything else. That's just been part of it. But you got to remember, California has deliberately driven business out of California. There is no middle class. There's an upper class and there's the poor class. And, you know, the phenomena that's interesting that I saw when I marched through those, the Santa Ana River there by Anaheim Stadium, and was walking around talking to all the homeless people that were camped out on the riverbank on top of the levee. I was talking to them. The vast majority were white men. There's about 3,000 people. I'd say easily 75 to 80% were white men that were out of work, couldn't get a job. And almost all of them were citizens. They were American citizens of all races and stripes. And colors. It was kind of phenomenal to see that, but mostly white men. And of course, that's been the biggest driver. We were talking this morning with some of the people from New California about how we're going to have to make the adjustments on so many of our people, because the people oftentimes in the, in our own movement are forced to leave for economic reasons. And they stayed. We have a couple of people that are, they're moved to another state, but they're still staying in touch because they still have their property, but it's still a dilemma. We're seeing this sort of thing happen. But, you know, with New California, we step in, it's going to be a whole different ballgame. But there's going to be an interim in which there's going to be chaos in California. And Trump is going to have to execute. And this is what we have asked for, Dave. And I don't know if we announced this, but after a convention, during our third constitutional convention in Roseville, California, at the end of last month, we came out with three resolutions, and these resolutions laid out basically Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, which declared as resolutions the reasons why we need the president to declare that California is in a state of insurrection, and is right now. And so we sent these resolutions that were considered around Article 4, Section 4, which states that we have a constitutional right, one, to have a Republican form of government, which is a representative government, which California does not have now. It's got a monoparty system. Number two, to be free from invasion. Well, guess what? When the California government is enticing people deliberately with free money and driver's license, we're not free from invasion. And the next thing, free from violence. Well, sanctuary state, which is those laws actually are superseding the Constitution right now, which is Article 6, Section 2, the Supremacy Clause. Well, you know, we're not free from any one of the elements of Article 4, Section 4, and they're violating the Supremacy Clause, which means they can't do that. Last time this was going on, there was a civil war. Now, what's going to happen is that we sent those letters, and we sent those resolutions and letters to the President of the United States, and he responded. We got a response by way of our intermediaries that he had read them and seen them, and he responded back. And I'm, you know, the push on New California was his response to us. And we're going to continue our direction. We're coming up with the fourth constitutional convention in mid-May. We'll have more announced on that in the New California website and newcaliforniastate.com website, and also Agenda 21 Radio. But Dave, we are being pushed into this situation by the state of California.
Yeah,
and now we have Gavin Newsom, it's going to get a lot worse. But my point is, there's going to be a time in which the president, if he does get to this and it's in financial chaos, which we absolutely expect, that would be a window of opportunity for the United Nations to step in.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. I'd like to, I want to go down a direction with you here and just grant me a little lenience here, because I've come across some information about Humboldt County. Excuse me. And I wanted to ask you, what kind of support are you getting from Humboldt County for the 51st state movement?
Well, I'd say it's at par with some of the other ones. It's interesting. There's pockets of support. I think actually, for the most part, the liberals, once they realize what we're up to, they fall in line as well. But that top tier up there, you know, they don't want any kind of government, period.
Yeah, that's what I want to go to. You just took one of my legs out from underneath of me with what you just said. Let me tell you what I've seen that's well documented, and let me tell you what I've been told that's not well documented. And this comes from someone inside law enforcement in Humboldt County that I'll quote, but let me start with what I know. I watched a Netflix documentary. And in South Humboldt County, there is no law enforcement. There is no government interference. In fact, when you're the police and you ride through there, men come down on motorcycles with shotguns strapped to escort the police through. That's on film. I mean, this is undeniable. This is going on. And let me tell you the flip side of the story. Humboldt County is the best marijuana growing place probably in the world. The people don't get busted very often. They have the highest missing persons rate in the country, which is amazing because we lead here in Arizona child sex trafficking here in America. North America is here in Phoenix. But we don't have as many missing people. And the Humboldt County people can't keep up with all the cases. The law enforcement, that's what they've documented. That's what's on this documentary. Let me tell you what I've been told. I've been told California, it promised, and this is through Newsom's office, and it started with Jerry Brown, that they want to work with what I'm calling the Humboldt cartels, and they're going to provide complete law enforcement protection in South Humboldt County in exchange for skimming off some of the profits to try to keep California afloat financially.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I know that that happens. That's absolutely true. You got to remember that it was that part of the state that gave us Bo Bergdahl.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, he got picked up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He was at a pot farm. And not only that, but that area right there, and I have to be very sensitive about this, but you remember up in Oregon, we had a shooting. And Bo Bergdahl was picked up there. He was AWOL. Remember, he was waiting trial, and they gave him a leave, and the leave was a 10-day leave, and he was, like, doing number 18 days on it at the time.
Right.
And the sheriff arrested him, and I believe it was the Humboldt County Sheriff arrested him and brought him down to Santa Rosa, which they turned him over to the Army. So he was captured twice and then turned over twice, once by the Taliban and then once by us. And he was deeply involved with gun running and also marijuana running.
Bingo, exactly.
Up there. Yep. And, of course, some of those guns found their way into Roseburg. And what happened in Roseburg? At Umpqua College, a mass shooting involving one of the lovers, what was his, lithium lovers they were called. And that's, of course, in tribute to some of the cities along the basic path from Humboldt into Roseburg along I-5 corridor. So Bo Bergdahl was involved in that. And he was involved with who else was there with him, helping along with that whole thing? The Taliban.
I have heard, well, let me tell you what I was told. Where you find, this is what a deputy told me, where you find drug running, you find the other two, gun running and sex trafficking.
Sex trafficking, and yes, this is a very notorious area. It's not too far from Siskiyou County, where Bill Ayers hid out for years to try and escape the prosecution, which, by the way, we found out later because I talked to members of that prosecution team in San Francisco. They were not going to prosecute Bill Ayers anyway because they were so compromised. That, remember, he was involved with a bombing that killed a police officer and murdered a San Francisco police officer in the 70s there. And he escaped to Siskiyou County. And he was living up in Siskiyou County, which is where, of course, the home of the Jefferson movement.
Yeah, well, let me go one step further with what was suggested to me as a possibility. I want to make sure I phrase this accurately. I'm not saying this is happening or going to happen. It was suggested to me it could happen. California needs to kill the New California movement. And therefore, this southern part of Humboldt County is not just a resource for money to try to keep the California state government afloat as best as it can, but it also could be a source of terrorist exportation to nearby counties to intimidate non-participation into the New California movement. That's what I was told.
Right. And we've seen that.
You've seen it. Can you talk about it?
No.
Because it would compromise your sources?
Well, yeah.
Okay, I understand.
But, you know, it's we laugh it off a little bit, but it's so obvious. They're not good at it. And that's not bothering our people. And, you know, our people are strong, and they want New California because they are tired of terrorists in their backyards.
Well, it was further suggested to me because I had mentioned in that same conversation that I knew that there were certain military units that were poised to move into California should they go into total meltdown. And they said, well, it's not going to, and I mentioned LA County as a prime possibility. And they said, I don't think they'll start there, Dave. I think it'll be in Humboldt County. That's where your greatest threat is.
Well, and for good reason. The other part of it is up in that whole area, it's a water area. The most important part of California is its water. And, you know, the water reserves. Now, we have another potential problem out here, and it involves the Oroville Dam.
I was just going to ask you, is there a connection between Oroville and what we're talking about?
Absolutely.
Can you get into that?
That's the way it's shaping up to. Well, it looks like they're trying to fill the dam up again and up to the top where it's going to get up to the gates. In fact, just recently there was a bulletin that came out from the Department of Water Resources just 2 days ago saying that they do expect water levels to rise above about 813 feet, which would put the water up against the gates of the headworks there. That's where the gates are closed, or they will have them closed and, quote, sealed is the terminology that they used on this advisory, which means that the water is still going to be filling up, which would mean that they could be actually overtopping on the emergency spillway again if there's a problem in getting the gates up. Now, I want to get into this a little bit. The headworks is where you have these large gates that open up and water goes down the spillway. And we saw that so dramatically tear up the spillway because of, well, a lot of neglect, basically, because Jerry Brown and other governors were taking that money that was supposed to be used to for maintenance and repair of the spillway, using that money for other things, such as $27 billion for illegal foreign nationals just in 1 year last year. They were using money from the infrastructure and bonds and so on, and federal money. This is something that they've been using for years to, you know, continue to buy off and send money to their cartel friends and stuff like that, or their NGO friends, which is a big gig for Jerry Brown. What they were doing is they were using all that money instead of on the proper uses for other things. And of course, this has left them deeply in debt, but they don't really care. You know, they're done with that part of it. But the problem is the infrastructure in California is crumbling. Everybody knows that. Well, this is the price that we pay. Now, what they're doing with the Oroville Dam is obviously they're going to fill it up, and the headworks, which are the most important part of this whole thing that had to be repaired, were not repaired. They have not been repaired properly. That should have been the first thing they repaired was the headworks, but instead they repaired by the spillway, and then the emergency spillway, which really a lot of the dam experts that I talked to said for fixing the spillway, they probably should have backed off and fixed the headworks first rather than the spillway. And because it was in a point of stasis, which means that the erosion had already taken place and wasn't going to add to any more erosion if there's going to have to be a use of the spillways. Well, so now they've got good spillways and bad headworks. That's a bad combination. And we do understand that in front of the headworks on the reservoir side, there's still deep penetration by water that's going through the mountain, basically, and hitting up against the back of the bottom side against the dirt spillway, which is where the problem was to begin with. So we're not sure that any of these problems that really created the problem to begin with have been fixed. Now, I do know one thing. They aren't allowing people to go anywhere near that area of the dam. They're fencing off. Listen to this, Dave. They're fencing off the area behind the dam. So you can't, quote, this is what we had some people go up. We sent some people up to up there, and they did a thorough thing of the dam assessment trying to get around it, but it was fenced off. You can't go back there. And in fact, there was my understanding, I was told the story by a fisherman that was out there fishing, and the Park Service showed up and said, you're out of here. You're not going to be seeing anything. You're not going to be going over that area. So they're hiding something, and we think that they're going to see that water rise. And if it does rise to those spill gates, and the spill gates are not open, then it's going to overtop, and we're going to have the same thing we had before, and it could be worse. Now, if, in fact, we lose that dam, we lose the growing area around here because the flood zone will go from Oroville past Sacramento. In the case that happened the last time, we could have very easily that night of February 12th, 2017, we could have very easily have lost over 1 million people. But because we are the largest rice producing area of the world, in one location, it would have created famine for this world for a good 5 years. Famine worldwide. Now here's another little thing. Right, I'm literally within almost a stone's throw from a business that's the largest producers of queen bees to the world, Dave.
Oh, my. Okay, yeah. Killing two birds with one stone. Let me tell you how it's been described to me, and I think you've articulated the detail. Let me give you the banner. The banner that I get told most often when I talk about Oroville and how it's not over is that it's kind of a reserve doomsday weapon. If we, you know, kind of the old lover's mantra, if I can't have you, no one else will. This is the deep state's final middle finger to the United States to try to bring us down if they can't do it the way that they're going about doing it.
Right.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. One of the things that people don't realize is in these dams are what are known as ADMs, atomic demolitions.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
And this is the thing that happened in the Oroville Dam situation a couple of years ago. I was trapped in my house. I couldn't get out. If the dam had gone, I'd be covered by 24 feet of water. And again, the grinding of all the stuff in front of it. But I was in my studio here, like I am right now, and I was receiving intelligence from people telling me what was going on. I had several people who worked at the dam who were calling me and telling me what was going on. And I'm sitting here, it's, you know, 7 o'clock at night, and I get a call from one of my friends, who's in the dam, actually working in the dam. And he says, Paul, they've just driven off with 31 trucks out of the dam. I said, what do you mean 31 trucks? Yeah, they loaded up all the atomic bombs and drove off. And I said, atomic bombs? Cause I had no idea. And I never put it in context what that was about, but most of the large dams in California have been wired with these new ADMs, atomic demolition munitions. And at any point in time, see, they're worried about invasion, which is, this all started in the 60s and the 50s and 60s with the Russians, the Soviets, and Germany. And they would use these ADMs. You can look it up on the internet. You can see them.
Yeah, yeah.
They would use these ADMs to destroy the dams and prevent the Soviets from advancing and taking over Europe.
It's a standard military tactic. Right. The Germans tried to do it behind the scenes in Normandy on the night of the 101st Airborne drop.
Right, exactly. And this is a standard thing. And of course, if Oroville was to go, the inundation zone, because they would, you can imagine the inundation zone would go, like I said, completely cover the northern valley here and wipe out all the rice producing fields and wipe out everything south of Sacramento and taking most of Sacramento with it and kill at least 1 million people right up front. And then, of course, millions dying around the world for the lack of food. That's just for beginning. But then you have other dams, all the way through the whole water system from north to south in the Sierras. It would fill up the valleys and cause havoc down there. I don't know how many millions of people would die there. But clearly it would destroy the crop producing area of the breadbasket of the world, which is the Central Valley.
Yeah, boy. And it's Obama people. This is what I want to point out here.
Oh, yeah.
Rahm Emanuel in Chicago with the Smollett case. And now you've got Eric Holder, CalExit. And this, I connected CalExit to Oroville Dam over two years ago. So again, it's Obama's deep state connections.
Right. Well, and Obama, but you can't let out, Nancy Pelosi's a big hammer and all this stuff.
She's part of Obama.
She's part of it. Yeah. She's part of all of it. Jerry Brown and his cabal. It's the San Francisco treats, as I call them.
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's really true.
Well, all this stuff that we've been getting in California has come from San Francisco and some from North Hollywood. Most of it's from San Francisco, though. This assemblyman or this Scott Weiner who introduced this, pedophilia bill, he's from San Francisco. All the marijuana stuff, San Francisco. All the bathroom, San Francisco. All the stuff that's really destroyed this state has come from San Francisco. That's why New California is not going to have San Francisco in it.
No, I agree. Just like if Chicago were in California, you'd be fools to incorporate them. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Paul. This is This is incredible. I mean, we're about 2 minutes out to the close of this segment, but I just wanted to say this is kind of a natural break point, but you can tell, and I'm speaking to the audience, this is just the beginning
right.
of what we're talking about here. This is, and we're going to be revisiting the Oroville Dam again. I get these emails still, oh, Dave, the Oroville Dam, ha, 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 never happened.
Yeah.
Okay, just hang on, folks, because
right.
I'm telling you that
it
ain't
part
over.
Two.
Paul, in the minute and a half or so we have left, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to go ahead and push what you're doing and talk about your radio show.
Well, the radio show is Agenda 21 Radio. We're on Red State Talk Radio. That's the provider. We're on Monday through Friday, 6 to 9, live. And we are, that is in the morning, so 9 to noon
Pacific
on the
time.
East Coast.
Yep.
Yeah,
nine,
and
yep.
9 to noon on the East Coast and 6 to 9. And the show emanates from my studio in California, but it goes by satellite to Washington, D.C. And we've got, you know, I don't know how many radio stations around the country that pick it up. And then also by the digital. We're the largest digital provider in the world at Red State Talk Radio. And I know, Dave, your show's on Red State Talk Radio as well. We are just getting so much traffic right now on the radio show. And I just want to thank everybody for just a shout out to everybody who listens to the show. Thank you very much. And yes, Agenda 21 Radio Coffee is going to become a reality. I have to put the plug in for that because people have been asking me about that. The other part of it, of course, is the new California State movement, and it is really starting to pick up steam. We have been requested to make sure that all of our counties have their county chairmanships and all this other stuff up and running, and we're having meetings and getting the data that we need to get generated out of the counties. That is actually starting to take place right now, and it clearly by the end of March we're going to be really, really looking strong. This is where we wanted to be. I've been up several hours this morning already having phone meetings with people around the state of California. People are intense. People are really excited about the prospects of this. We're going to have a fantastic convention. There's going to be two major national speakers at the convention. You'll definitely hear about it. And there are people you're hearing about in the news that have been invited and they've agreed to be there. So we're really excited about that. It's going to be in Fresno this year.
Yep.
And that's going to be in Fresno in the, in May. And May 17th and 18th actually is the date. And tickets are going to be on sale actually starting, this afternoon as soon as we get all the details, some of the
Well, we'll have to have you back on to talk about that. But with that, my friend, we are up against the clock. Thanks so much for joining us. This is probably one of the most important broadcasts we've done here on the Common Sense Show. And, Paul, thanks for being part of it.
Thank you.